So the title of today's sermon is Deliverance from what? From evil. Can we say that together? Deliverance from evil. Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? Let's say it together. Say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, and forgive us our sins as we forgive us those who sin against us. And what? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some other version will say, deliver us from the evil one. Evil is not just an activity. There's also a force behind evil. Evil is not just the absence of good. There's a force that is enforcing evil. Amen. Darkness, spiritual darkness is not just the absence of light. Let me explain that again. Spiritual darkness is not just the absence of spiritual light. So it's just, okay, fine. We say spiritual darkness means that, you know, you're out of fellowship with God. God is not there. But that's not all. There's a force behind spiritual darkness. There's somebody called the Prince of Darkness. That's his title. Yeah? And his name is what? It's Satan. It's the prince. There's a force. There's an active force that is propagating darkness or evil. He's the evil one. And that's the one you want to be delivered from. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's have it two versions. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Yes, if you are ready, you can go for it. I want to move fast. I have lots to say. John chapter 10, verse 10.
New Living Translation. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Amen. Let's have New King James. John chapter 10, verse 10. Thank you. John chapter 10, verse 10.
NKJV. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Hallelujah. He said the thief's purpose. Who is the thief in this case? It's not that title for Satan, because he's contrasting it with himself, Jesus. Amen. The thief. Say Satan is the thief. You know, I want to say Satan is a thief, but it's not complete. He is what? The master. And his purpose. I like the way your version put it. The thief's purpose. He has a purpose. What's his purpose? At all times. Is what? To steal, to kill, and what? And to destroy. Even if Satan gave you something good, what's his purpose? To steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what they say. The difference between a good gift and a good and perfect gift. A gift can be good, but it can be harmful. Hallelujah. Something can be pleasurable, yet what? Harmful. So for a gift, yeah, to be right for you, it should be good and perfect. Then it will not harm you. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it makes what? Rich. And it has what? No sorrow. Hallelujah. The thief's purpose is to steal. Satan, all the time, all he's thinking of is what? How to steal from you. Somebody tell me, what do you think Satan wants to steal most from you? What's your most precious possession that Satan would like to steal? Anybody? Yes? I feel I know what you're about to say.
Your soul.
Your soul. Yes, that's right. I thought you said your life, but your soul. That's right. Yes, more? More? What do you think Satan is trying to steal?
Your faith.
Your faith, yes. What else? I'm looking for. Obviously, you know, I have an answer in mind. I'm trying to fish it out.
Your inheritance.
Your inheritance, yes. It's part of it. More?
Spirit.
Your spirit. Someone said your soul. Someone said you are correct. He wants to seal it all. Yes? More? They are all correct. I'm looking for I have an answer in mind. Although, to be fair, what Brother Gideon said is perfect. He wants to see your soul. And your soul includes your spirit is inside your soul. Just like your soul is inside your body. I want you to follow that. Your spirit is where? Inside your soul. Just like your soul is inside what? Your body. Yes?
Your salvation.
Your salvation. That's right. I saw another hand. The same thing. Oh, synchronization. Yes. Let's say one more. Oh, two more. I'll take two more. What does Satan want to see? He's a thief. His program always, yeah, is to steal. What's he trying to steal?
Your time.
Your time. Let's say he's trying to waste your life. You know, like, when I say waste, I mean like, you're alive, but you're wasting. Yes. And?
Your eternity.
Your eternity. Come back to your salvation. Amen. You know the answer I had in mind. All the answers are correct. Your destiny. Well, let me say it that way. Satan wants to steal God's plan for your life and make sure that you never fulfill it. Hallelujah. So yes, the greatest thing Satan wants to steal from you is your soul. And I can tie your soul to your salvation and to your eternity. Yeah? But if Satan cannot do that, don't think he has resigned. Amen? His next best is to steal your destiny. Your destiny is that good thing that God has planned for your life. God has a plan. Say with me, say, God has a plan. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts. Another one will say, I know the plans that I have. And you know, because the Father is so great, he has a plan for each one of us. There's something he has apportioned to you to fulfill in life for his glory. There's a place for you. I have a portion. You know, when I was in boarding school, you know, secondary school, boarding school in Nigeria, you know, they gave us daily routines. Yeah? Sweep, you know, the floor, cut the grass, mop the floor. That's your portion. They ask you, have you done your portion? Hello? Are you with me? God has a portion for you, and it is good. Hallelujah. It is glorious. Hallelujah. The portion that God has for you will bring glory to God. Secondly, it will bring blessing to others. It will touch lives. Anything that God portioned for you will touch lives positively. And it will bring glory to God. And there is no human being in this world. Even people who are never born again, God has a portion for them. But they may never enter it because they don't know him. God has a plan. And a purpose. But the devil also has what? A purpose. So because the devil knows that God has this plan for your life, he wants to steal it. And make sure that you never what? Fulfill it. Hallelujah. So he says the devil is wicked. You know that the opposite of righteousness is wickedness. In the Bible. You're either righteous or you're what? Or you're wicked. It's the same unto the righteous man. It shall be well with you. But say unto the wicked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's talking about warning the wicked. The devil is wicked. Because all he's trying to do all the time is steal. Or what? Or kill. Or what? Or destroy. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the first thing between stealing and killing. Yeah? You know something is stolen. In time, you may be able to replace it. Yeah? When something is killed, it's gone. So to use the word kill is irreplaceable. Amen? If I say the use the word steal, it's something that can be replaced. But if I use the word kill, yeah, it's irreplaceable. Hallelujah. And that's his goal. There are some things that if you allow the devil in your life, yeah, you've lost it forever. If you allow the devil to take it away from you, he's not just stolen it, he's what? He's killed it. You can't enter it. I'm not saying all things. Some you can re-enter. Yeah? But some you can't. Hallelujah. Not everything is equal. But that's the second degree of his ministry. But the worst of it is that what does he want to do eventually? He wants to what? He wants to destroy. So ultimately, the devil wants to damn your soul. Yeah? He wants to steal your destiny. Yeah? He wants to kill your purpose. And he wants to what? Damn your soul. To see something destroyed, it has become eternally useless. Are you with me? But thank God that that's not the end of the story. Please turn to your neighbor, smile, and then say, thank God that that's not the end of the story. Youth for me, John 10:10, the second part. John 10:10, second part, a young person. John 10:10, the second part. Yes, a young person. John 10:10, the second part. It starts with but. Yes, he's ready. Young person. John 10:10. Young, yeah. John 10:10, second part. Anyone you choose, New Living or New King James, starts from the second part, but I. Or maybe it's I. Go on.
Wait, it says the thief.
Sorry?
It says the thief.
After that part. Oh. The next statement.
I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Amen. Now, listen to this. By the way, you know, he said they. Who are the they there? Earlier in John 10, he's talking about his sheep. Earlier, if you look at John 10 earlier, he said, talk about my sheep. So the they are who? My sheep. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. The thief, Satan, is coming to steal or kill or destroy from the sheep. The believers. The true believers. If Satan has an opportunity, he wants to steal something, kill something, or destroy something. And I told you that the greatest thing he wants to take from your life is not just like your lunch. He wants to steal your destiny. God's plan for your life. God's purpose for your life. He wants to take it away. Yeah? Make you useless as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Yeah? But thank God that's not the end. Jesus said, I have come. So that what? So you can have life. And have it what? More abundantly to the full. He's not talking about party every day. That's not the life he's talking about there. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the word prosperity. What is the meaning of prosperity? Anybody define prosperity? I say, I am prospering. Or I am in prosperity. What does that mean? Yes? What does it mean to prosper?
To be fruitful.
To be fruitful? Yes, more? I like that. Yeah? Prosperity? Yeah? To have in abundance. Yes? It's part of it. Yes, more?
All-round success.
What is success? The criminal went to bank and robbed it successfully. The prisoner escaped the prison successfully. To have what? Good success. You see, there is bad success. Bad success does not glorify God. But it's still success. Amen? Yes? What's prosperity? What does it mean to prosper? Because I'm just trying to explain, I have come that you have life and have it to be full or abundantly. What does that mean? What does it mean to prosper? Obviously, I've linked it to prosperity. To have in abundance, to be fruitful. I like that. More? Just two more?
To have more than you need.
To have more than you need so that I can be a blessing to others. It's not just that you have more than you need and you can save it. But to be able to bless others. And finally, any other one to prosper? Okay, check your dictionary. Google. Find what meaning of prosper. Find meaning of prosper in your Google. Dictionary meaning of prosper or prosperity. What does it mean? Come on, check. It's a good exercise. I did it. Yes, let me find somebody who has not spoken. Brother Gideon, tell me. What does it mean to prosper? I'm just nudging you. You don't have to do it. Anybody? Anybody found it? Yeah? You have to check your dictionary.
Oh, okay.
Check Google. Check prosper in Google. You know that smartphone.
Okay, but when you're thriving.
When
you're thriving.
Yes! That's correct.
Yeah.
It's actually correct.
I know.
Okay. She knows, she's sure. Amen. Yeah, Ma? What did you find in your Google? To prosper is to what? What are the words?
Succeed in material terms. Be financially successful.
Mm-hmm.
Flourish physically, grow strong and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Areas, yeah.
Okay, good. More?
Bloom, flourish, flower, fly high, or thrive.
Try. Any other word? So the two words I'm bringing out is flourish and thrive. Yeah?
It says good fortune.
Yeah, I know. That's the traditional, you know, like in the traditional church thinking, no, not traditional. The conventional modern church. Prosperity is always, Lord, good fortune. Yeah? But prosperity is not only about material things. Actually, in the cradle of life, the material is the least. It's at the bottom. The biggest set of your life is spiritual. God is a spirit. Again, that's the highest realm. So if I'm prospering, yeah, my spirit ought to what? Prosper. You know what it means for your spirit to prosper? You're not in bondage. You're not in oppression. Yeah? You're not under the influence or dominion of evil spirits. Then you are able to do the will of God for your life. Yeah? You are fulfilling your destiny. You are prospering. You are fulfilling God's plan for your life. That's prospering in God's eyes. Then we now step it down to the soul, which is a lower level. Your mind, your mental health is prosperity. Hallelujah. Emotional is prosperity. Having good relationships. You can never be happy in life if you don't have good relationships. Now, some people have more relationships than others. But I tell you, in your makeup, if you have no good relationship, you are going to be sad. You need good relationships. Say what you say. Say, I need good relationship. And you know the love relationship. You have to invest. Hallelujah. It's what you sow that you what? That you reap. Hallelujah. If you go about talking anyhow to the people in your life, you will lose the relationship with them. Even if it's the best gift from God, you must sow into it. So that's your emotional prosperity. You need it. You see, you can be rich and have all the money and very sad inside. Or very lonely. You're not prospering. You have money, stinking money. But you are sad, lonely and depressed. You are not what? You're not prospering. So your emotionally, we need to try. We need to flourish. Hallelujah. I'm explaining to you the life that Jesus has come to give you. He has got to give you a life. He has got to give you a purpose, a plan, a vision, a mission, a direction. Yeah? Meaning to your life, to your present, to your future. He has come to your life to make you count. That because you are there, somebody else will be touched, impacted, transformed, delivered, healed, saved, helped. It can also be by your job. You know, I met someone, I've never shopped in Morrison's until last week. I went to visit one of our sisters, and then I was going back home, and the other said, just branch there and buy something. And I met a lady, you know, and I'd known her from primary school, Ryan School, which she has finished. And then she was telling me about my wife at work. And how she treated her son. Yeah? It's part of thriving. Now, what you're doing is making a difference to lives. And they can tell others. And then, trust me, by the time we finish, I said, well, that's, you've received the medical one. I will pray for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's thriving. Hallelujah. And then, of course, when you move from the soul now, physically, your health, your physical health is prospering. To be in health is to prosper physically. Hallelujah. You can lift your leg and you can lift your hands. You can climb onto the attic or where do you climb? It's prospering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every organ is functioning right. Is what? You are thriving. You are flourishing. You are able to perform. Yeah? According to expectation. It's prospering. And of course, materially too. Hallelujah. You can feed. You can meet your needs. You're not going about begging. And you're not yet prospering if you can just meet your need. Amen? You're not yet prospering if you can just, I had a sumptuous breakfast. And I'm looking forward to a massive lunch. Okay, it's part of prospering. But that's not really. You can give to somebody in need. Hallelujah. You, God can use you to give to somebody in need. That's prospering. Hallelujah. So if you say, when God uses me to bless another person, that is what? Prospering. See, when you have a talent, yeah, and you come to church, and you use it to serve God. For example, like Kevin, you know, played the keyboard today. Yeah, we're not paying him anything. I don't look forward to paying any musician in church. Yeah? If we invite them for a special program, that's different. But when it's your own church, you serve God freely with your talent. And it is prospering. Because your talent is making a difference to bless others. And you are expecting your reward from who? From the Lord. Hallelujah. It's prospering. So Jesus said, I have come so that you will have what? Life. Somebody say life. I hope you are appreciating what I mean by life now. I've defined life for you. To try. To flourish. What did God say, tell you in the Genesis? The Bible said that when he made Adam and Eve, he blessed them. And said what? Be fruitful. And multiply. Another version is prosper. Flourish. Thrive. Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Tell them, say prosper. Flourish. Thrive. Hallelujah. Amen. Now don't be deceived. Thriving is not just about your looks. I'm talking to young people. Don't think that until you deck up completely. Actually, I'm still outside, but I was still saying, but I see young people outside and they feel that until, if they are not overdecked, they are not functioning. They are so empty inside. Don't be empty inside. This don't you know, so don't be empty inside. When you're overdecking, it's a sign that you are empty inside. Now, I didn't tell you not to deck at all. Please understand me. Look beautiful. Look smart. Look what? Pretty. I saw your picture for the wedding. You're looking pretty. I don't have any problem with that. Amen? But don't let decking up become a survival issue. Hallelujah. Because what you have in you is greater than what you are painting outside. Are you with me? What you have in you, yeah, your inner beauty is a greater treasure, yeah, than your outward beauty. Hallelujah. Invest into that. Hallelujah. It means you are thriving. You are what? You are prospering. You are not trying to cover up. You have the real deal inside you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say when you say, I will prosper. Let's define it. I will thrive. I will flourish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your talents are being used in a way that is adding value to others, in righteousness, not in dishonesty, not in deceit, in righteousness, it's thriving. God is happy. Hallelujah. Anything that God has given the ability to do, if you do it in the right way, you are thriving. And God is happy. Hallelujah. God is what? Happy. First Peter, chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. We're looking at deliverance from evil. You know, I'm just laying the foundation. I'm laying the foundation of that message so that you see where we're going. We finished the message in Ephesians. But I started from John 10:10. Now I'm taking you to 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Let's have someone to read. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. We're going to have New Living or New King James. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Who is ready? Someone who has not spoken or read. First Peter 5, 8 to 9. Please open your Bible there. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9.
Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Continue. 9.
Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Amen.
Amen. As a believer in Christ, you have at least two major entities to deal with. There are more, but these are the kings. you have Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. He's on your side. Hallelujah. He is for you. He is your shepherd. Hallelujah. He has come so that you can thrive and flourish spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I'm separating them, but they are tightly connected. Physically, materially. Relationship-wise. Your destiny being fulfilled. Your purpose. Yeah? Being fulfilled. That's what Jesus is there for. And that's why he saved you. He saved you because sin in your life is there to destroy. Sin, yeah, is a tool of Satan to destroy. Yeah? But he has come to set you free from sin. Yeah? But you have this opposing force. It's not as big as Jesus. Huh? Hello? The devil is not as great as Jesus. Can you say, when you say the devil is not as great as Jesus? Hallelujah. Jesus, the devil is the prince of darkness. Who is Jesus? He's the King of kings and what? The Lord of lords. Hallelujah. I can give you more description. However, the devil has his strength. You know the son of the devil? He is resilient. Please follow what I'm trying to say. The devil is the most resilient being ever. What does it mean to be resilient? You say someone is resilient. What does it mean? Check your Google if you don't know. Yes, ma?
Doesn't give up easily,
ma? Devil is resilient. What does it mean to be resilient? By the way, resilience is a good thing. But in the hands of the devil,
difficult to destroy.
It's difficult to eliminate. Or, I will come back to that. I'll qualify it, yes?
Keeps pushing through it.
It doesn't give up. You see, I was having that discussion with my wife sometimes. I said, look, if you've overcome the devil sometime in an area of your life in the past, and you have the victory, you walk the way with victory, that's good. But don't assume that for the rest of your life, he can't show up again. He's resilient. You can keep him out, but if you open the door, even if you've defeated him before, he's coming back to try. He's an attempter. He's a tempter because he's an attempter. So he says the devil is a tempter because he's an attempter. That is, he's never tired of trying. So he went to Jesus. He knows that Jesus is Son of God, isn't he? The devil knows that Jesus is Son of God. He knows. What did he start with? He said, if you are what? The Son of God. That's attempting. Hallelujah. He's resilient. Hallelujah. He can lose a battle. But Bible says after the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, Bible says the devil left him for a season. Or another version will say he left him for another opportune time. You think the devil never tempted Jesus again? He did. You know one of the times? Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. And you have this super disciple called Peter. Yeah? So Peter coupled Jesus. Who can I use as an example now? Like if I'm going to say it in African language, yeah, he technically pulled him aside and was pulling his ears. You will not what? Go. Sorry. I didn't really pull it, okay. I'm very conscious of safeguarding. Amen. You will not go. You know Peter was Peter in age would have been, there's a chance he was older than Jesus in age. You know that? Jesus was like 3 years. Peter had a wife, mother-in-law. He was older than most of the apostles. I don't know. I stand to be corrected. I may be wrong. But Bible used the word. He began to rebuke Jesus. And say, you will not go. Far be from you. You will not go. He said, be quiet. Shut up. How did you wake up today? What are you saying? What did Jesus do? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was not saying Peter was Satan, but he was saying that Peter has opened the door for Satan to use him. Satan can use you. Hello? I'm not going to tell you to say it to your neighbor. Because he's not a nice one. But Satan can use you if you let him. He's resilient. I want you to just sink in. He's resilient. Hallelujah. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. Imagine that somebody, God already has told somebody that you are going to lake of fire. Yeah? And that is irreversible. What do you think he should do? He should just resign. And say, God, why didn't you just even throw me now? Yeah? Instead, he's ready to fight 6,000 years. He knows where he's going. Are you with me? The devil knew 5,000 years ago, that he's going to the lake of fire. He knows his final destination. He knows it's irreversible because he has been judged. But he still keeps going. Yeah? To fight to oppose God. He knows the battle is lost, but he's fighting to oppose God because he's trying to draw you others. Thank you, my thank you. You know, it's better to use others than you. Along with him. Stealing and killing our and destroying. So that Bible tells you that you should stay alert. Who is he talking to? He's a believer. Stay alert. I know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But what? Stay alert. Hallelujah. Let me give you a pause. If you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and the devil wants to get you, what does he need to do to you? To make it easy for him to get you. Follow the word. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's actually a Bible verse. I think that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Someone can tell me the verse. Yeah? I think it's 21. Please correct me if I'm wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, for he made him to be sin. Can you check it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Open. Open. It's Bible school. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Who wants to read? Someone who has not read today? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Someone has been quiet in that corner. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Please read it. Is it 21? Anybody found it? Is it 21? Yes, please read it.
For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Amen. I like that. It's simple. Was that New Living? Was that which version? Yes. Okay, let's have New King James. And someone else who has not read? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yes. Yes.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become right, the righteous of God in him.
That we might be made what? The righteousness of God. In what? Him. Let me just explain something to you. Without him, you are not the righteousness of God. Your righteousness of God is in him. If you take God out of him, you have what? No righteousness. It's not in you. Say with me, say that righteousness is not in me. It's in him. So I have to abide in him to continue to retain it. So what can the devil do? You're already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil wants to get you. What does he need to do? Well, let me change the tense. Someone is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and the devil wants to get them. What does he need to do to them? So that it can be easy to get them. Just follow the logic. Just follow the logic. No tricks. No tricks. Yes, you are saying right. I just want to say technically. Well, that's absolutely right. That's where we are going. Yes, anybody can say it. So logic. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah? And so, someone say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Devil cannot get me. He cannot get me. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And my life is in with Christ in God. But the devil is resilient. He wants to get you. So what does he need to do?
Yes. He would either entice you or he would tell you to prove it.
Entice you. I like the word entice. You know what the devil will do? He will try to take you out of righteousness. Open your Bible to 1 John. Chapter 1. verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, if you have it, you can read it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, go for it.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If we confess our sins,
he's... Okay, can you start from verse 8, please? Okay. Just for context.
Okay.
He's writing to believers. Apostle John is writing to who? Believer. To believers. He's not writing to unbelievers. Yes, please read.
Okay. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
So a believer can sin. I think we all know that, don't we? Yeah? Anybody never sins if they got born again. Yeah? You can sin. But that doesn't mean you're a sinner. A sinner sins habitually. A sinner lives inside of what? Sin. Yeah? It's their comfort zone. But a believer, a true child of God, sin is not their comfort zone. They are spending all their life trying to avoid sin. And when they sin, they don't want to remain in what? In sin. Are you following the difference? If you meet someone who likes sin, enjoys sin, and wants to remain in sin, that tells you that what? They are not a true believer. Please continue. Okay.
And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah. Amen. What does that tell you? A believer can enter into unrighteousness. The Bible even explains to us, says, all unrighteousness is sin. What is sin? Unrighteousness. What is sin? Unrighteousness. Say after me. Say, what is sin? Sin is unrighteousness. So if we sin, we enter into what? Unrighteousness. That's why we need to confess. So that He will forgive us. And what? And cleanse us. So what the devil is aiming to do? He tries to pull you into unrighteousness so that you'll be unvulnerable. Yeah? To his attacks. That's why that command is saying, be sober and be what? Be vigilant. So let the devil pull you there. Hallelujah. And if the devil put you there, don't stay there. Don't linger there. Hallelujah. Don't linger. Hallelujah. If you fall short, don't linger. There's a solution. Hallelujah. The solution is repent quickly. Confess. You can't confess your sin if you have not admitted your fault. Hello? It's like telling me one of my young boys in a day just go and say sorry. Well, they say sorry. I said, are you sorry? Well, no, you said that you say sorry, and I said what? Sorry. But you're not sorry. He's not going to admit that he's sorry. He only did what I told him to do so that he can collect his game back. Are you with me? No, to really confess your sin, you have to admit your fault. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when you do that, God is faithful and what? And just. To forgive you. And do what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 6. So I've tried to lay the foundation to show you that we have an enemy we are dealing with. And we don't want to open a door for him. Because he's wicked. He's a destroyer. He's a thief. And he's a murderer. A killer. He's not just a killer. He's not like manslaughter. He's a murderer. His killing is intentional. His plan is premeditated. Hallelujah. He's the father of what? Lies. He's a deceiver. He's a seducer. Hallelujah. You don't mess with him. Don't mess with the devil. I'm not trying to prick you for the afraid of the devil. I'm telling you to be alert and leave no room for Satan. And if you have left a room, quickly close the door. Hallelujah. You must have spent 28 years of your life closing the door to the devil. But one moment of opening is resilient. Hallelujah. It takes its time. Hallelujah. That's why you yourself cannot be off guard. Are you with me? And then if you are off guard, repent quickly. Don't linger there. Don't say, it's impossible for me to do that. I can't do that ever. I'm too disciplined or decision for that. You can do it if you open enough room for the devil. You will do what? Hallelujah. That Bible says, let him that thinks he stands, do what? take heed so that it doesn't fall. So let's use the last 15 minutes now to look at Ephesians 6. I want to teach you some new things. It's the same Bible, but I have a deeper revelation that I want to teach. And you can always judge that with the word. So Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12 first. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Who can read it? Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. We are talking about deliverance from evil or overcoming the evil one. I want to overcome the evil one in my life. I don't want the evil one to sit on my head. I don't want the evil one, to make me do evil. I don't want the evil one to control me. Say what you say, I don't want the evil one to control me. So say, no, it's not possible. I'm born again, the evil one can never control me. Then we should take Ephesians 6 and tear it away from the Bible. Because it's irrelevant. If the evil one cannot get into your life, you don't need to put on any armor. Are you with me? Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Let's have that. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12.
I'm reading from New King James Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God.
Put on the whole armor. Continue.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
You know, wise means dirty tricks. The trickster. Yes, continue.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Amen. Now, let me just explain this. See, whether you see them or not, they are operating. Hello? There are angels of God and there are evil spirits. Whether you see them or not, they are there. And they are operating. They're not just operating in Africa and Asia. Yeah? They are also operating in what? Central Europe and UK. Yeah? Hear me? They are there. Yeah, they operate. These forces operate in the air. So they are air force. Are you with me? They are there. Whether you know or not, they are what? You can't play the ostrich. Yeah? You may assume they're not there, but that doesn't change the fact that they are operating and they can affect you. So the only place you have is to be alert, to be on guard, to be ready. Because I don't want the devil to use me. I don't want the devil to have his way with me. So if you say, I don't want the devil, to have his way with me. He's dangerous. If the devil has his way with you, he will steal something. He will kill something. And if you give him more space, he will destroy something. Or destroy you. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. So this is what I wanted to break down these words. Put on the whole armor of God. Can someone just break it down for me? What are the messages there? That statement is pregnant. Put on the whole armor of God. What's coming out at you? It's very pregnant. Put on the whole armor of God. What comes out at you there? Anyone? Put on the whole armor of God. Yes? Anything coming out? It's pregnant. There's so much meaning in that statement.
That you have to be covered head to toe.
You need the whole. Hello? We make the mistake of putting on one. Someone say, I have faith. Huh? I'm a man of what? Faith. That's just one. Hello? The shield of faith is just one. It will not cater for all. Otherwise, it wouldn't have listed all. Yes? Another point there. Put on the whole armor of God. Yes?
You shouldn't leave anywhere exposed.
Yes! Because the devil can get in from any uncovered direction. He's resilient. He's resilient. He's the prince of evil. When the devil is operating, he just wants to propagate evil. Evil is everything that is going wrong. Or that could go wrong. Please understand me. Evil is not somebody having bad dreams or witchcraft attack alone. It's anything that could go upside down. It's what? Evil. Yes? Put on the Lamb of God. What are you saying there? There's more. There's more.
It says put on, so it doesn't come on us automatically, even though we're...
Put yourself on, Pastor G. That was... That. Please listen carefully to this. I'm really teaching you something that will really help you. If it says put on, it's not there automatically. Please understand what I'm explaining. If the command is to put it on, you don't have it automatically. And I will apply that statement to every one of them now. You will see where we've missed some of them. For me to put on something, it's not there automatically. If it's there automatically by right, by position, I don't need to put it on. Are you with me? Does that make sense? You happy? So the Bible says, let's go now. Let's read two verses. I'll do only two of them to bless you today. Oh no, maybe three. Depending on time. Two. Let's just say two. To bless you. So Ephesians 6. And of course, the old armor means that you need an armor. You what? To face the evil one and deal with the evil one and overcome the evil one consistently, you need what? You need armor. So, verse 13. Yes, can we have verse 13? Ephesians 6:13. Let's read it. We're running up gradually, maybe within 10 minutes. 6:13. Please pay attention. You will see where you might have been missing it and allowing the devil. Yep.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
To stand. Amen. That was New King James, yes? Let's have New Living Translation. Yes, it's your turn finally. Ephesians 6:13, New Living. Please listen carefully. Listen carefully to this one. It will bless you. Go on.
Therefore, put on every piece.
Put on what?
Every piece.
Don't put on some and walk away. This is the problem we are having as believers. No, as a pastor. Yeah? You know, if you like it, if you want to find a good job, come on, apply to be a pastor. You see pepper and onions. is every job. You know, like when my wife comes home and says, it was tough today at work, and I just comfort her. That's the best thing you can do, isn't it? Oh, sorry, darling. Don't worry. You know, we'll pray. Everything will get better. Well, when she's going to think it to herself, it's like that's the only job that you're suffering. Every job has its own challenges, isn't it? If it's a job, some jobs have more challenges than others. I agree. Not all jobs are equal, yeah? Amen? The problem with believers is that you master something, then you stay there. You refuse to try to master the others that you need. Do you get? So Jesus was teaching about tithing. The Pharisees. He said you tithe your mint and your vegetables and your onions, but you are neglecting the other weightier matters. Righteousness, justice, faith. He said, yes, you ought to tithe, but you also ought to do the other one. See, if I'm tithing alone, and I'm not doing the other ones, I will lose some blessing. I could then be still doing it and not entering all that God asked for me. Mm. On the other hand, if I'm doing the other ones and I'm not tithing, I will lose some blessing. I have to put on every piece. Every piece. I have to pay attention to everything God has to say. I can't just get away and pay attention to something and say, I got it. No, everything. Someone say everything. And let me even tell you, when you pay attention to everything, and then the next morning God told you something, pay attention to that one too. Because God is always doing a new thing. And He'll give you information, specific. I was sharing with my wife again, sorry to refer to us much in service, about something. I picked up something in my spirit when I was praying about one of our children. Something that God wanted to do for them. And then, I discovered with somebody and I had contrary information. And I just dropped it. I never told him. I never prayed it in because I considered the fact that was given me. I said, yeah, okay, it can't work that way. A year later, I saw evidence that actually it could have worked easily. Yeah? So I didn't take hold of what God offered. So I lost it. It can happen. Because you're not paying attention to that one. I'm not really a careless person, but I didn't pay attention to that one. And I lost a blessing there. So pay attention. Say to your neighbor, pay attention. So put on every piece. Yeah? So now let me now show you two things that we can put on. And then we'll finish there. So go to Ephesians 6 now, two things I'll show you. Where is it? Okay, I found it. No, I'm not. Yeah. Verse 14. Yes? Verse 14. Can you read verse 14? Someone was not right today? Okay, go for it. Go for it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Go for it. Go for it. Give me. No, you have to give your sister. These stars are there for a reason. You need sisters. Sisters are good. Yes, Ephesians 6:14.
Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness.
The body armor of what? No. The belt of truth and the body armor of righteousness. You have to what? Put it on. Now read from New King James. New King James. Ephesians 6:14.
Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on
breastplate of righteousness. Now we are going to clinically analyze this now, just using the word put on. If you can put on something, what does that imply? If you can put on this top this morning, what does that imply in the evening?
It's physical.
Yes, but in the evening when you want to go to bed, what were you going to do to this top?
Take it off.
You're going to take it off. If you can put it on, you can what?
You can take it off.
Do you agree? Yeah. So if it's something I can't take off, I can't put on, it's there. So I'm to put on the body armor of what? God, righteousness or righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness? Give me a complete definition of righteousness. Because I want to learn how to put it on.
It's like the act of doing something holy.
Yes, the act of doing something holy. I heard another answer there. What was it? Yeah. Don't be shy. Go for it. Should we ask him?
right standing with God.
Right standing with God. Now, both are correct. You know, if you want to marry them together, go to Romans 6:22. Let's read Romans 6:22. Let's marry them together. Because they are actually husband and wife. Don't separate them. Romans 6:22. Somebody read it. Romans 6:22. Who has it? Romans 6:22. Yes. New King James. Romans 6:22.
But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruits to holiness and the end everlasting life.
Okay. Is that New King James? You sure? Let me check my version. I'm looking for the word righteousness. It was there. I don't know where it traveled. Just bear with me. Romans 6:22. Verse 20. Yes. Yep. Okay. Thank you for that. Sorry? Thank you. Please read it. Thank you for bailing me out. You need people who can bail you. Yeah, Romans 6:19.
I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness.
Amen. As what? Slaves of righteousness. For what? Now, so the way I would like to define righteousness is right standing, yeah, for right living. You see, your right standing is useless. You cannot produce right living. Why do you need it? If I'm in right standing with God, I'm in relation with God, and I'm serving that relationship, it must produce fruit of righteousness. Make sense? Holiness is fruit of righteousness. So let me show you how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's 1 John 1:9. Bible says in Revelation chapter 12:11, we said we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, like, for many years, the way I understand is that when you see Satan or demon, you say the blood of Jesus. Amen? And you should do that. It's okay. It's okay. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is more powerful, the blood of Jesus or the name of Jesus? Serious theological question now.
Jesus.
Okay, let's ask Mr. Theology. Blood of Jesus or name of Jesus? Because now we are all hold it to account. Which is more powerful?
When we speak of the blood of Jesus, it's a technical term for his death and resurrection.
Yes.
So we're not talking about physical blood flowing from his veins. We're talking about his sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the name of Jesus, we're not talking about saying the phrase in the name of Jesus. We're talking about the authority of Christ.
Really?
So the question itself is...
He's in battle now.
Yeah,
in battle.
It's a non-question.
Okay, good. Thank you for that depth. Where was I? Let me come back. So I'll come back to it. I'll come back to the title of righteousness. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Hallelujah. He said, we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. What does the blood of the Lamb do for you? What does the blood of the Lamb do for you? It's the forgiveness of your sins. Bible says, in whom we have what? Redemption. Through what? It's blood. Are you with me? You are overcoming Satan because your sins can be forgiven. Because in that same chapter, it's called the accuser of what? Of the brethren. So if you're going to overcome the accuser of the brethren, you need the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? But let me explain to you. How does that apply? It means that you do not say you have no sin when you have sinned. If you say that, you are not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You have opened the door for Satan to come in. When you have sinned, yeah? Admit what? Your fault. Yeah? Confess your fault. And receive what? Cleansing from all what? Unrighteous. You are putting on the breastplate. Alright. You are leaving no room. Ephesians 4:26. He said, be angry and what? And do not sin. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. Neither give place to what? The devil. So if I'm angry and I let it take over me, I am giving place to what? The devil. I have put up the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. So when you sin, repent quickly so that you maintain your right standing. Because sin comes between you and that standing. Hallelujah. Or particularly when you refuse to admit that you are sinned. Yes. Hallelujah. That's it. So the best of righteousness is not saying I'm born again, I'm righteous of God. You don't need to put it on. The issue is that you can walk out of it. Yeah? Because all unrighteousness is sin. Yeah? So the command there is to maintain that breastplate in position. Hallelujah. So the accuser of the burden does not have any hold on you. Hallelujah. Let me do one more. The helmet of salvation. Now, if you are born again, you are saved, yeah? So, is that not automatic? Yeah? So, how do you put on the helmet of salvation that you are already saved? Think about it. Because all my life, I'm thinking that the helmet of salvation is your salvation, yeah? You are saved. But you don't need to put it on. Do you need to put it on? Hello? If you are born again, you have been saved. Yeah? So you should have the helmet of salvation always on. It's automatic, is it not? Then you don't need to put it on. So what is he telling you to put on as helmet?
Reaffirm it so you can speak boldly.
Reaffirm it so you can speak boldly. That's in the line. Yeah? That is in line. I just want to try to imagine that. The helmet of salvation can be off. That one don't take. You can be born again, a believer, but the helmet of salvation is not being put on. I'm really challenging your thinking. Proverbs 18:10. Open to Proverbs 18:10. We do this, it's just that we've not linked it. Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10. What does it say? Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10. That's the last note, and then I'll finish. Proverbs 18:10. Come on. Who's ready? Yes. That's the last one. Then we'll finish. Proverbs 18:10. Please follow. I want to put on the helmet of salvation so that the devil will not get me in that part. Go on.
The name of the Lord is a strong fortress.
The name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. Yes, go on.
The godly run to him and are saved.
And they are saved. Acts 4:12. Someone else. Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Who has it? Acts 4:12. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Helmet of salvation. I'm saved already. Yeah? Now it's automatic on. But that's not the one I'm to put on. If I don't leave Christ, I cannot be unsaved. Yeah? So what am I to put on as salvation then? Go on. Acts 4:12.
New Living Translation. There is salvation in no
one. There is salvation in what? No one else. Continue.
God has given no other name.
God has given no other name
under heaven by which we must be saved.
Amen. Now I'm going to throw something in for you. We'll meditate on it all through week, all through the week. The helmet of salvation is the name of Jesus. It's the name of what? Of the Lord. You need it in battle. You need it to deal with the devil. You need the name of just to bind evil spirits. See, when an evil spirit shows, they don't show up physically, yeah? They show up by suggesting a thought to you. You arrest that thought using the name of Jesus. You say, I reject you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you feel that you are feeling under oppression, maybe you are sleeping, nightmare, whatever, what do? You take the name of Jesus and you confront it. You don't run away from it. I say, you devil or you evil spirit, I rebuke you. Someone was rebuking them. Like, I rebuke you in the name of, it's okay. Still rebuke. What you don't want to do is keep quiet. The helmet of salvation is the name of the Lord. You have to run into it. You run what? Into the helmet. And you are what? Saved. Hallelujah. It's your armor. The name of Jesus is part of your armor. Use it to bind the devil. Use it to loose. Use it to rebuke. Use it to forbid. Use it to shut the devil up. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to put it on. Carry it. And you know what? When you know, understand the value of the name, you don't mess about with the name. You see, I can't use the name of Jesus and exclamation or just do whatever I like with the name. Because I know the value. I reserve it for real business. Hallelujah. If you are messing with the name, you have reduced the value. Keep it and use it to confront the enemy. Hallelujah. Because at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee should what? Bow. And every tongue what? Confess. That Jesus is Lord. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and talk to God. I just want us to just practice what we said today. We are looking for deliverance from evil. I want you to confront whatever evil is showing up in your life at this moment or in your home with the helmet of salvation, which is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But that's not enough. You know, he said every piece. You also comfort it with the breastplate of righteousness. Meaning that sometimes the devil can operate in your life because you open the door. You can open the door to rebellion. You can open the door to stubbornness. You can open the door to disobedience. Yeah? You ought to repent of it first before commanding the devil. Yeah? Because it was that disobedience that opened the door. So you can't just chuck it under and become any devil. It's not going to be effective. So let's start and say, Lord, look at your own life. You don't need to pray to me. You know, just talk. Think about anything that is oppressing you or anything that is challenging you right now or that has oppressed you. I want you to engage the breastplate of righteousness by just reflecting over where you might have practiced what? Pride or rebellion. Or stubbornness. Bible says rebellion is like witchcraft. And stubbornness is like idolatry. And I want you to repent of it. You didn't follow what God commanded you. You broke the word of God. You did your own thing. You know, you were rebellious. You were stubborn. You know what happened. I want you to just talk to God in gentle tone. You know, now best of all, it's not a shouting prayer. You just go and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I admit. I missed it there. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're, what you're doing, you're maintaining your right standing. You're making sure that relationship is smooth. because you're not holding on to something that God does not like. And pray and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of it. And I ask that you wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you overcome Satan. That's how you overcome Satan. It's by that cleansing from unrighteousness. So do that. Do that. Apply it to your life, your situation. The next thing now, you're going to use the name. That's your helmet of salvation. And you're going to rebuke Satan. Say, Satan, I command you. Speak. Speak. I command you, Satan. Take your hands off from my mind. If you are feeling oppression in your mind, that's how you will do it. Take your hands off. My mind belongs to Jesus. I rebuke every oppression in my mind. I rebuke every depression in my mind. I rebuke every obsession in my mind. Satan, take your hands off from my finances. You may be facing oppression in your finances. Check yourself. Have you obeyed what God told you to do in that area? If not, repent. Then pray and say, now when you repent, say, I rebuke in the name. That's the name. You use the name. I rebuke you, Satan, in my finances. Take your hands off in the name of Jesus Christ. It may be your health. You are facing the challenge. You know, a recurring sickness or disease that is dominating you. Take the name of Jesus and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, I said the devil is resilient. So if you're going to overcome it, you got to be resilient. You got to be, you know, more resilient than your enemy. If you want, you stay resilient in the name. You stay resilient in the authority that of the name of Jesus. And say, I rebuke you. Mention the name of that sickness or disease and say, you will not dominate me. Oh, you may be dominating me now, but you will not continue to dominate me. I refuse that. I will dominate you. I will see your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're feeling challenged in any other part of your life, talk to that mountain. Talk to it. Your mountain is personal. And say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. I break your power. I break your power. Evil spirit, you have no place in me. You have no place in my home. I do not permit you. You can go to any other home. But my home, I don't permit you. I break your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, I enter and I stay in my victory. I stay in my victory. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for deliverance from evil. I just pray, let the power of the Holy Spirit flow. Every evil stronghold, every evil influence, every evil spirit, oppressing, harassing, obsessing, depressing anyone in this world right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you, lose your hold. Lose your hold. Lose them. Let them go. Because Jesus paid the price. Lose them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every oppression in people's health, anyone here or even the children, I rebuke that oppression. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lose your hold. And let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ. We stand in the victory of Jesus. We are delivered from evil. We walk in righteousness. And we bear fruit unto holiness. In Jesus' name. Amen.